The two pieces I have for you for this episode are the ones that got accepted into the Seattle Erotic Art Festival anthology. So the first one is titled The Thread. I sat across from her in the dimly lit cafe, sweating half-finished cocktails between us, her intoxicating blue-green eyes penetrating mine. Black lashes like butterflies, threatening to take me away on their wingtips if I wasn't careful. I wanted her mouth, wanted to know the flavor of her tongue and what the texture of her skin felt like beneath my palms. Her Cheshire Cat smile, though, full of hunger, trouble, and a pinch of sweetness, gave me pause. I felt like a mouse, unsure of whether or not her paw was going to bat me around or pull me into her soft fur. Maybe I wanted both. I don't want you to feel pressured or anything, but would you like to come over? She asked, her voice pure silk, her fingertips inching towards mine. She had taken a spool of tightly wound silver thread, only perceptible by an otherworldly sense, buried in the recess of my brain, and unraveled a little of it, extending an end to me across the table. My options were to end the evening here because of the bit of trouble I detected in her smile. I wasn't sure I wanted to subject myself to it, whatever it was. I wasn't sure how easy it would be to untangle myself from it. The other option was to pick up the end of the thread, follow it and her back to her place, and see what happens. Maybe I was wrong about the trouble. Maybe I wanted to be possessed by her. And maybe none of it would happen, or maybe all of it would happen. Either way, I wouldn't know if I refused to pick up the thread. I touched it. I watched her watch me do it. Seriously, no pressure, she said again, which she knew would be all I needed to hear to say yes. Let me think I was the one in control. I picked up the thread, wound it around my index finger, and watched how it glittered against my skin before I looked up at her and said, "Let's go." The Cheshire Cat smile returned, and she slid her hand over mine. "Great, I'll get the tab, and then we'll head out, okay?" "Thank you," I smiled, feeling the pull of the thread tug a little harder. We left, her hand in mine as we walked to her car. She opened the door for me, unraveled the thread a little more. It sat on her lap as she drove. I wound the slack of it tighter around my index finger until it was covered in silver. She turned the music up, drowning out my thoughts and any attempt at a conversation. She rolled the windows down, the crisp air hitting my face, blowing my hair around as I watched the sparkling city lights fly by us. I felt myself go underwater, or at least that's how I've described this feeling when I'm proceeding towards something that maybe isn't the best for me. I'm still holding the thread, still committed to following it, while drifting more and more underwater. In this space, my brain thinks things will hurt less. It becomes more pliable because somewhere deep inside, I don't feel I can say no. That saying no would somehow make me weak or not down for things on a menu that others would be so down for, and I'll be ostracized. If I don't stay in the good graces of this person, there will be bigger punishment to endure. So I'll just slip away under this current and watch myself sink and sink, feeling less and less present. So whatever is hurting now won't be as bad as whatever comes from saying no. "This is me," she said, pulling into a large parking structure. She drove up to the third level and parked. I spilled out of the passenger seat and followed the black satin of her dress, swishing around her thighs and the click of her sharp heels striking the cement to an elevator. I worked to keep my jaw from dropping when she pressed a golden button with the number 18 on it. Inside her apartment was immaculate and looked more like an Anthropologie ad than her home. "Would you like some wine?" she asked, gesturing to the bottle on the marble counter. "Yes, please," I replied. She grinned like she knew that would be my answer, stepped closer to me, still gripping that invisible spool of thread, and while looking into my eyes, leaned in towards my mouth. I tilted my head up to meet hers, but she turned toward my cheek at that exact moment and whispered in my ear, "You're a good girl, aren't you?" Warm energy moved down from my face, lighting up my cheeks to my chest, through my hips, and into my thighs. The thread around my finger pulled tighter. When I didn't reply because my head was swimming, she placed her hand on my hip and said, while looking into my eyes, "Aren't you?" Am I? Was I? I didn't fucking know, because my head was underwater and the thread around my finger was making it throb, and the sound of her voice and the feel of her touch. Touching me was like an assault on all my senses. "I said, aren't you?" She repeated herself, hand tightening on my hip, and I nodded. "Thought so." She smirked and went about taking wine glasses down from her cabinets, setting them on the counter. I could breathe a little more with her standing over there pouring the wine. She had unraveled more of the thread, so I wrapped more of it around my middle finger, wondering where we were going. What was going to happen? "Here you are. Go sit on the couch. I'll be just a minute." She handed me a large glass, half full of red, with a delicate stem. I did what she said, trying to understand the hold she had on me. I felt like I was in a labyrinth that she created, and she was watching me try to figure it out, but kept running into dead ends. I knew I could unravel the thread from my fingers and leave at any time, but maybe I didn't want to. She returned from her bedroom, collecting her wine as I sipped mine. When she joined me on the couch, she pushed her hand through my hair. "You are devastatingly beautiful," she said. "Take off your dress and let me see you." I felt my eyes go wide. I was used to something that wasn't this. I wanted to be kissed, to feel and be felt at the same time. I barely knew her. This was our fourth date. We had kissed only once. I was confused as to what was happening, but my body was responding as if we were fucking in this moment. I had gotten wet the instant she asked me to come over, the moment she extended the thread to me. "Did you not hear me?" she asked. I said, "Take off your dress." The space between us felt tense in a way that made me feel nervous, excited as I set my wine glass down and stood. The question of what's next rolled through my mind as I reached behind me, breath caught in my lungs as I unzipped my dress and let it fall to the floor. Her eyes sparkled with desire, interest, and lust. "Good girl," she said. The warmth flooded my limbs again, hearing those words. She pulled the invisible thread, wearing that Cheshire Cat grin again, and said, "Come sit." I joined her again in just my black bra and thong, tucking my legs underneath me, reaching for my wine. "You seem scared," she correctly observed. "Tell me what's on your mind." I rolled around, thoughts of how honest I should be. The more I said, the more control she'd have, knowing my inner workings, and I didn't know if I should share that just yet. I had different expectations for tonight," I started. "Yeah, what were they?" "Something more mutual than me sitting here half naked." I looked down into my wine glass. "Is that so? Are you not enjoying yourself? Because I imagine if I asked you to take everything else off, I'd find how wet you are." I looked up, feeling her amusement. "Do you want me to take them off?" she asked, nodding at my hips. "I can do it," I replied, placing my wine on the coffee table, my words surprising me. My fingers yanking hard on the silver thread between us, rushing to find the end of it, to find out what was here. "Good girl." The look of approval she wore on her beautiful features unlocked something deep inside of me, and a part of my being that had slipped underwater was above it now, gasping for air, here and present. A pile of the sparkling thread was at our feet. I was still yanking on it, finding it nearly endless, as she told me to stand in front of her and take off my bra. I did so and watched her look me over. I stepped forward, still wanting to kiss and touch her. She put her hands on my hips and held me in place. Stay put. I'm going to put my mouth on you, and you're going to come when I tell you to, like a good girl. Okay? I nodded. I wanted it. I wanted her. I wanted to be told I was good. She started at the inside of my hip, kissing and licking one before moving to the other. And with the tip of her finger, she traced a line up the center of my calf and then hamstring until she reached my ass and took a handful of it, pulling my body to her mouth. Her tongue pushed me open and my legs went shaky and slippery. The warm wet of her pushing into me, those glossy lips consuming my pussy, had me wild with desire. I tilted my hips forward. She found my clit. I took handfuls of her hair, that silver thread draping over her, pulling at my feet. I felt her nails digging into my thighs as I pushed my hips against her mouth. My legs shook the more she moved her tongue back and forth over my clit. I propped my foot on the edge of the couch to feel more of her. Come, she said, pulling back for a moment to look at me, and I nodded. As she went back to my clit with her tongue, I stopped pulling so hard on the thread. It stayed wrapped around many of my fingers and piled all over her and the floor. The spool was still on the couch. The other end of it was somewhere. And in this moment, wasn't the final destination, but it was a moment that I didn't have to ask anything else from. There was something here for me. Not only was there something to know, something to learn, but something I was choosing. The lesson wasn't going to come any faster tonight just because I was yanking on the thread she offered. And when I came, head thrown back, eyes shut tight, my voice calling out, I saw in my mind a kaleidoscope of thread from other people I had encountered before now. Some were just bits of it, and some were pieces so long they could wrap around the earth twice. None were silver, though. I placed my foot back down on the floor and looked at her, knowing I had a blissed out, deeply satisfied expression on my face. She grinned at me and said, "Good girl." I wrote that piece a couple of years ago, and I had submitted it for the festival last year, and it was rejected. It's one of my favorite pieces, so I just decided to submit it again, and we'll just see what happens. And then it was accepted for this year. So I was very, very excited about that. Okay, so this next piece is called Ladybug. It was written based on someone else's art. So the art was a female torso from collarbones to top of the thigh. So this female torso is like laying down on the ground, and she is nude, and her lower half is covered in ladybugs. And it just made me feel some kind of way. So I wrote the following. He handed her a jar of ladybug memories that she kept with her beneath a grief blanket when he left. When no one was watching, she'd disappear and stretch out onto the sharp, soft ground stripped bare. The taste of her grief, humid spring sunshine, salt on bagels, sweet of orange juice, and the bitter of coffee. He'd join her in these moments, lie down next to her, and hoped that she knew he was the one placing the little red-winged, black-spotted bugs on her hips, her thighs, all the places he loved to kiss. The rush of calm that would envelop her always whispered that he was here. She'd place her hand on the ground next to her, hoping to feel his skin instead of the earth. Her body remembered everything. It recalled the way it felt when he pushed into her the first time, the way she resisted at first because nice girls don't fuck on the first date. And if she was still enough, she could open the jar of ladybugs and let them do the job of remembering for her. They, the memory gifts of them, could magnetize the feeling of his mouth on hers and his arms wrapped around her waist to the front of her mind. She reached for it, wanting to give her body the heat, blood, and bone of him again. He sees how protective she is of her grief blanket and ladybug jar. He watched her when she laid completely still, receiving the sting of the tattoo on her thigh, making her carry the hurt pleasure of love. He sat with her while she self-pleasured, pinching her own nipples, trying to conjure the feeling of his presence. He'd use all his energy to shout to her, to make her see that he was right here, but the only thing she'd see were the ladybugs. He worked on prying her hands away from her heart, the vulnerable of her belly, and the wet of her pussy, so she could remember what it is to receive. She emptied the jar to feel the scurry of the little red bodies, fluttering their wings, etching, writing, rubbing their memories into the heat, blood, and bone of her, so she wouldn't forget what it was like to feel him. She felt him inside the unraveling of her hips, the sensation of her delicate hands on her skin, embodying the strength of his, sliding over the steady beat of her heart. She felt the stiffness of her nipples and the sticky slip of grief dripping out of her before hearing the sharp cry of her cum, reminding herself that she is still here. Thank you so much for hanging out with me. And for being here on the ride with me, I appreciate you so much.